The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus went into the region of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter said in reply, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said to him in reply, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father. And so I say to you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he strictly ordered his disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In the Gospel that we just heard, Jesus asks the disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And he gets different answers. And he turns to his apostles and pointedly and very focused asks, "But who do you say that I am?" This question is one that we should ask ourselves continually until our dying days. Because the definition or the role of Jesus in our lives will continually elude us if we do not continually pray and reflect on what God has done for the love that he has for humankind. We call Christ our Savior, that he saves us from death, that he came to carry the burden of sin of the world on his shoulders, and to open up the gates of heaven to every soul that ever has been, that is, and will be. Our Savior, he comes to save us from this life, from death. But again, what we have to ask, what does Christ really represent to you and I? We know that intellectually, we know that up here, but what does he really mean to us in our daily living, in our routine, in our work, in our family, in our world, in our small sphere of existence? And it would be good perhaps to ask ourselves, do we treat this Christ, the Son of God, as a superhero, like a Batman or a Superman? What happens in the movies with these characters? There's disorder in society, there's sin, Gotham, everywhere is evil occurring. And you see the tension builds up in these movies where there's so much destruction and people say, you know, where is Batman when you need him? Where's Superman? Well, Bruce Wayne, we know, is hiding down into the cave with all his toys and all his machines. Clark Kent is fumbling through papers at the news station or at the newspaper. So when we say that Christ is our Savior, is he our Savior here in our heads, but where does it happen as we live, as we suffer, as we go through life as a man, as a woman, as a child of God? Do we treat him like a superhero? It is well known that many times, and the saints have written about this, that when life is smooth, when life is as we're at the top of our game, it is when sometimes we are least on our knees praying to our Heavenly Father. And then we begin to say, "Christ, I need you. I need you now. I need you in my world now. I know you are my Savior, but I really need you to act. I need you to do something for me." Not unlike the people in the caricatures of what I've said about Batman and Superman do. In our personal lives, he must not only be a true superhero, because he wants to give us what we need. Ask and you shall receive according to his will. But more so, it would probably behoove us to think as a superhero, but not as Batman or Superman, but as the Transformers. Why do I say that? Because Christ not only is asking us to depend on his Father and on his providence for what we need and for what we think we need to live his life that he's given us, but he wants to give us his very life itself and to transform us. Again, what did I say? That the superhero comes down to earth, destroys the evil persona, and goes back into hiding. Christ does not want that for us. He wants to stay with us. He actually does stay with us. So much that he stays in a metal box over thousands upon thousands of Catholic churches in the world. He stays with us. He wants to transform us. He wants to raise us up to be like his Father. Christ's mission was salvation. He suffered the distress of his passion, his suffering, so that we wouldn't have to, in eternity, suffer that. But he also came to give us his very nature. We have to understand and reflect again until our dying days what we are. We are made in his image. We are made in his image. And if we are made in his image, when God becomes a man, that divine nature has now assumed a human body. And so our human nature has now assumed a divine nature, a divine calling, a supernatural calling that is beyond what eye has seen or ear or mind can envelop. And we then are called to share his divinity. Hence, souls united to God, and that begins now. That begins now in prayer. We're approaching the sacraments and leading the life of a Catholic, the Holy Mother Catholic Church that is established today in the reading of Peter the Rock. Hence, souls united to God are transformed in him and truly become divine by participation, equals, and companions of God. I want to repeat that. We are transformed in him. We become truly divine, and I would add that we have to remember that the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, exists in human souls. God is within us. And by that, we participate and are equals and companions of God. Those are not my words. Those are words of St. John of the Cross, a mystic, a Carmelite priest from the 1500s. What a calling. What a vocation. No matter what we do in life, from cleaning floors to Pope to a neurosurgeon to auto mechanic, what a calling that we are called to share the very nature of God. A restoration, a transformation, not only a salvation, but a complete makeover. God did not come to establish a kingdom here or in heaven, where he is here and we're down here. He came down here to be with us, that he could lift all of humanity to a divine existence. And like a peg, we read in the first reading, we are short of a spot. A spot. And how? What is that spot? Well, that spot is God's will that he has ordained from the beginning of time for you and I, to the smallest iota details of our lives. And I guarantee you, if we go along the path until our dying days, we must continually ask that Jesus Christ to me and God to me is his will. God and his will are synonymous. They're the same thing. If we cannot accept his will for us in the smallest details, then we cannot accept God in the smallest details, because God is his will. And that's why we read in the second reading that his ways are inscrutable. We cannot scrutinize his ways, because the crucifixion makes no sense. That God will become a man that the Son of God would undergo the crucifixion, the passion, the treatment of Christ like a worm, like a piece of flesh beaten to a pulp. God's ways are not our ways. And the depth of His ways are inscrutable. We will never understand it. And so we suffer. We suffer the threat of anxieties, of worry, of nervousness, the threat of war in our world. Always. It has always existed. The threat of war from the beginning of mankind has existed. Political corruption, social relations, family difficulties, wayward children, children that turn their back on the faith, the next day's bread, where is it coming from? Our future. The future of our loved ones, of our nation, of our world. What is going to happen? How is this going to all turn out in my life and in the whole world? What plan does God have? How inscrutable are His ways? Who can know the mind of God? No one. And that is faith. That is a transformation. That is a union with Christ. And then we can begin to live a life like Christ. And then we are raised, we are transformed. To all those anxieties and to all those fears, we say no. We say no. We say that nothing happens without God's permissible will. It's in Scripture over and over again. It's in the Old Testament. The Israelites didn't understand that. Although they sent prophets after prophets after prophets. Job, all the prophets that seemed to fail and were total failures, were raised up in glory, and yet Israel refused to believe that God of love would not allow His creation to suffer. And suffering is a part of life, and it is a part of salvation. Not a hair of ours falls to the ground without His will. And so, my brothers and sisters, we thank God for His Holy Mother Catholic Church, for the sacraments, for the priesthood, for the Eucharist, for the great sacrament of confession that we read about today. Whosoever sins are bound here on earth will be bound in heaven. And whoever sins are loosed here on earth are loosed in heaven. 70 times 7, the mercy of God is inexhaustible. So as we continue to live our lives, Christ truly is our Savior. He truly is the salvation, the solution of our problems through His permissive will. We can't dawdle on that too much. Accept the cross. We carry it and give it to Him. Jesus Christ is the solution to death, raising us to share His very nature, but truly beginning now and throughout all eternity.